Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Well, it's good to know that my church is as wretched as I thought it was. After we were like, hey! The other half was like, oh my gosh. What is going on? Welcome to week number one of a brand new building and a brand new series that we are entitling Love, Sex, and Rock and Roll. This is going to be fun. You may be sitting there saying, okay, what in the world does love and sex have to do with rock and roll? You're probably more thinking, are you allowed to say sex in church? Like, this should be interesting. This would be a good time to let you know. Destiny Kids is a phenomenal ministry for your children. These next 4 weeks of this series will be PG for the most part. I am not one of those shock and awe pastors just say something crazy just to get a reaction. But we're going to have some fun and we're going to talk some real life. Somebody say amen. But one of the thoughts about this connection between love, sex, and rock and roll is that so much of music talks about love, sex, and a little bit of rock and roll. In fact, I know we're all in church and we've all been saved since the day that we were born, but everybody has that song that kind of you know the words. You remember, it takes you back to that moment somebody says. You remember that person, you remember that time, you remember that first date or that first kiss or whatever it may be. I try to grab some songs that everybody would know, and I'm going to be honest with you. The only songs I know are Deborah Cox songs. I've realized after my research that Deborah Cox might have been the greatest singer of We Can Be Friends, 'cause I'm still in love. I went by mom's, saw your car there. you know kind of the old school ones, the Stevie Wonder. I just called to say, no, you didn't. You called because you needed something and you wanted something. You didn't call just to say, I care. I was going to try to sing that Whitney Houston one, but and I. I see if anybody grew up in the 90s. All I really wanted was some of your time. Then you told me lies when somebody else is on your mind. What you do to me can take what you do to me. You know why? Because this is the Heartbreak Hotel. This is the Heartbreak. I was prepping yesterday. I was telling Pastor Zion, I used to fall to sleep at 13 years old to Heartbreak Hotel. That one was my jam. And then nobody, you ever heard this song, same script, different cast? Oh, Deborah Cox. Anyway, but there's something about music that just has a way of kind of scripting our emotions, especially when it comes to the topic of love, of relationships, of sex, and all that other good stuff. The only problem is that the message that's preached through these songs are pretty much a surefire way to destroy a relationship. For example, strumming my pain with his fingers,
you should probably take your pain to Jesus. Because that guitar ain't going to help you. Singing my life with his words. Let's be real. Killing me softly. Why are you killing anybody? And why is love synonymous with dying? That's a problem. Truth be told, and I don't want to jump out the gate and kind of jump down your throats, but it's a lot easier for us to quote song lyrics about love than scripture about love. We're going to have fun. And yet, we know all these songs, and we may not even know it, but subconsciously, we actually pattern our life after the primary thoughts in our life. To the left, to the left. You must not know about me. You must not know about me. I could find another one. I don't know the rest of the song, but you know the song. Romans 12:2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person. Here's how you do it. By changing the way you think. By the way, that's the entire goal. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think according to God's best for your life, you're going to see God's best for your life. But if you think according to life is just a candy shop, I won't sing that one. I like candy. Lollipops and jelly beans and no. As a man thinketh, so he is. So transform me to a new person by changing the way you think. And watch this. Then you will be able to learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's God's plan, not just for marriage and romantic relationships, but every single relationship in your life. God desires that it's good, that it's pleasing. And that word perfect doesn't mean without trials or without problems. It means mature and fully accomplishing all that God has called and intended it to accomplish. So over these next 4 weeks, honestly, we're going to just spend some time deconstructing some of the things that we've assumed and taken on as normal. Replacing those lies of the enemy with the truth of God's word so that we can see his best for our lives. Now, some of you are like, well, what qualifies you to talk about love, sex, and relationships? I'll be honest with you, I'm not a marriage counselor. I do marriage counseling at times. Sometimes it works. if it doesn't, though, it's not my fault. They had issues. I'm not a marriage counselor. Me and my wife, we've been married for 4.5 years, going up on 5, and come on, that's a good place to. But I'm not going to say that we have the perfect marriage. We're still working some of her issues out and trying to get her. Not one man in here said amen. We're still working through it and growing, and you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life. And so what is it that qualifies you to talk on this topic? I'll tell you what I think qualifies me to talk on this topic is that I really care about you. One of the things that happens as a pastor, I don't know why, I do know why, but people just feel like with pastors that they can just unload their hearts. So it'll happen, I'll just be at a random Starbucks. I actually don't drink coffee, so I'm there ordering my white hot chocolate with 2 pumps of caramel, and I'm standing in line, and like, hey, you're that pastor, right? Yeah. So I just broke up with my girl, right? And what happened was, And it's just time after time after time, people just unload just their deepest, darkest secrets, things that, I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't tell anybody, more or less my pastor, but just time after time of talking to people and counseling people, I've begun to see, when I say people, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of people, of some of the same patterns over and over and over and over again. I just don't love her the way that I used to. You know, my folks, they said this wasn't the right one, but they didn't understand our love. I thought when we had a kid that that would bring back that passion that we had when we first met. And here's what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to think the experience that you're having right now, whether good or bad, is 100% unique to you. No one's ever felt that way before. They don't understand our love. It's Bonnie and Clyde up in here, us against the world. They don't understand what we have is real. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Never meant to make your daughter cry. They think it's puppy love. We say is, anyway, pray for your pastor, he's having too much fun. But I have some good news for you. The good news is wherever you are in your relationship, whether you're having the best marriage ever, whether you're single and you're looking, whether you're newly single and just passed through a divorce or maybe widowed or something like that, your story is not unique. And here's why that should give you hope, because it's not unique. It means that other people have actually walked and traversed those same trails, and that God has actually brought freedom and victory in people's lives. People have actually filed for divorce and remarried afterwards. People have actually had the papers on their desk ready to walk out the door, and God supernaturally moved in that situation. People have actually been 2-3 weeks from walking down the aisle with the worst person possible, and God gripped their brain and pulled it out of their heart and told them, avoid that with all caution. God's actually brought people into people's lives that had given up on love, given up on hope. Wherever you are, I'm telling you, God has a plan for your relationships. He has a plan for your love, and it is good, it is perfect, and it is pleasing. I think this series is going to kind of connect with every single person, no matter where you are. Because for all of us, so often, the greatest experiences we've ever had in our lives and the greatest pain that we've ever experienced usually is connected to a relationship. It's usually connected to that right person or to that wrong person. So what we want to do over the next few weeks, I encourage you, don't miss next week. We're going to unpack love. What is love? Is it warm and fuzzies on the inside? Is it the fact that I think about you all the time? And how do I actually figure out what is real and what is not? So if I ever lose it, I can find it again. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about how to build a relationship from scratch, or how to rebuild a relationship. One of the good things is, even if you didn't start off right, wherever you find yourself right now, all you have to do is begin to apply God's principles and his words where you are, and he will bring you to his good, pleasing, and perfect will for his life. But today, first thing you want to do is kind of unpack. This is how the world says it. This is how God says. This is going to be a great series for me, because I'm going to be able to make a whole lot of confessions. One of the confessions that I need to make is my favorite movies are not war movies like they should be, or espionage movies. My favorite movies are Rocco's. Rom-coms. That too. I believe the very greatest movie of all time is this movie called Hitch. Y'all need Jesus just like me. It's my man Will Smith in there. And he's actually a love doctor. It's his job to help people who struggle find love. The only problem is he's helping other people do what he can't quite. You should see some of y'all faces right now. Half of the men in the room are like, dude, I have lost all respect for you. You don't respect me, but you know you love the same movie. But you've seen it over and over and over again in the movies, one movie after another. I was also thinking The Wedding Planner was a really, really good one. Generally, that, I like that one too. I'm not joking, it was a great movie. But you end up at the same function, maybe you're in a club or a bar or a work function or whatever, and she's sitting over there and his eyes lock with hers. And she like looks away. Looks at her friend, is he looking? He's looking. Oh no, he's coming. Hey, can I buy you a drink?
I don't even know your name.
Bond. James Bond.
Yes, you can buy me a drink and I'll chase you all over the world and do all types of crimes that could get me locked up for life, but it's okay because I'm in love.
And then they go riding off into the sunset, they get married, they have their kid, and then what happens? The movie ends. It never shows you what happens 6 months after. How, by the way, how do you get married and have a kid in the first week? Like, that's, it's only a 90-minute movie. Got to pack it all in there really quickly. But it never shows you 6 months after that, 18 months after that, when she's like, oh, it makes my heart so fuzzy. He's like, oh, I don't know if I feel like going back home anymore. I don't feel that same warm and fuzzies that I used to have. Then goes to work one day, or she goes to work one day. There is no gender bias in this. And the new secretary sitting at the desk say, oh, good morning. Do you work out? I was at a supermarket yesterday, and some woman came up to me. She was actually in the military, and she said, how old are you? I said, I'm 30. She said, boy, you are in really great shape for 30. I said, I started flexing that can of soda I had. I said, you know what? My pregnant wife and my 17-month-old daughter think so too. Thank you. But what happens is the world's mindset sets us up for a pattern of love and relationship that's not real. But yet we've bought into it and we believe it. So when we don't feel what we once felt, we feel that we've lost love. When in reality, we may not have lost it because we may have never had it in the first place. Can I give you kind of the steps to the world track? First thing is this, write this down. Your first goal is to find the right person. That's the entire deal. You got to find the right person. And what's the right person? I don't know. They have to be beautiful. They got to be tall or short. They got to be strong or slim. Depends. They got to be witty. Got to be witty. You can't have somebody with a dry sense of humor. They got to be like quick-witted. You know what I mean? We have to have chemistry. They have to come from a good family. I can't take somebody from a crazy family. I can't deal with crazy family. Have to have a good family. They got to be wealthy. I'm sorry. I'm not on the struggle bus. This is not interested in, you know, working my way up. We need to be there, and then we can go up from there. Have to be able to have a good conversation. We have to be able to talk for hours and hours and hours and hours. We kind of boil that down to what we call chemistry and attraction. The first thing we're looking for is chemistry, somebody that I click with, somebody that I can mesh with. I'm looking for my soulmate. That person that was ordained by God for me. After you find the right person, the next step is to fall in love. As if love was a ditch. Whoa, I didn't see that there. It's just like love just jumped out of nowhere. I don't know how that happened. I mean, we've been friends for 3 years. We talk all the time. We go out all the time. We share each other's secrets. And then we just fell in love. So you find the right person, then you fall in love, and then here's my favorite step that the world tells you. After you fall in love, then you fix all your hopes and dreams. This person.
Strumming my pain with his fingers. Singing my life with it. Nobody understands me like they do. Nobody gets me. I mean, nobody loves me for all my flaws and inconsistencies. And they love me for who I am.
That's because they don't really know who you are. It's only been but so long. And then here's the big one. In the case of failure, which if you do it the world's way, failure is guaranteed. Repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. This is something that's for teenagers, single folks, people that are looking at stepping in a relationship. This is why the practice or the world's mindset of dating just doesn't work. Because what happens is when you find the right person, you fall in love and you put all your hopes and dreams in them until they don't work out anymore. What do? You just break up with that person and you go and you find the other right person. And when you find that right person, then you fall in love with them and you put all your hopes and dreams in them. And when that doesn't work out, you go and you find the next right person. And without even realizing it, you are actually practicing and training yourself for divorce. Because you've trained yourself to find the right person as long as they feel like the right person and to fall in love until you fall out of love and to fix all your hopes and dreams in someone who was never designed by God to fulfill your hopes and dreams, which is going to guarantee failure. And when you get there, now you have a ring on, but in your mind, I'm just going to do what I did from middle school all the way up, and that's to bail. We may not realize it, but we've been set up from the beginning by the enemy to destroy, I dare say, next to God, the one thing that God has created us for. God looked at Adam and he said, this is not good. I don't know if Adam had eaten the same male 21 days in a row or if he was running around with scissors and I don't know what happened, but that brother needs a woman. Like, we need to help him out. It is not good that man is alone. What we have to figure out is, God, what's your way to find fulfillment in this area? Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who does it God's way. That word happy doesn't just mean joyful or excited. It means fulfilled. It means confident. It means sure the direction I'm going in is going to take me to where I want to be. So what I want to do today is I want to just give you just three thoughts of what's God's way to a healthy, fulfilling relationship, whether it's romantic or a friendship. And we'll talk next week about what makes the difference between the two. But I'll tell you, a lot of this is going to apply to any single relationship that you experience in your life. Does it just feel a little quieter in here preaching? I don't know. I'm trying to fill this space out. We're going to work this out. All right, first thing is, write this down. Stop searching for the right person and become the right person. The world will tell you, go find the right person. God says, no. You just focus on becoming the right person. So often we're searching for the right person. Here's something to think about. That right, perfect person that you're looking for, are you who they're looking for? The person that you have in your mind is, this is literally the definition of what I'm searching for, what I'm looking for. Would they be searching for you? Pastor Andy Stanley tells a story about a young woman who grew up in church and she grew up in faith and loving God. And what happens to so many people, she went off to college and her faith got tested. It's not that she didn't believe what she had been raised on. It's just that she was raised in a little bit of an incubator. It's very easy to say that you're holy when temptation hasn't knocked on your dorm room door. It's very easy to say, I would never, when you've never had the opportunity. It's completely different when you have the opportunity and now you have to make your own decisions. So she found herself kind of in trouble, far from the beliefs that she had at parties, drinking and all this other kind of stuff, and that turned into sleeping around with all these different people. And before you know it, she had spiraled into a life where she didn't even recognize herself. Her junior year, she went out to eat with a whole bunch of friends, and there was this guy at dinner there. He was completely different than every other guy. He looked at her in her eyes, which was different. He seemed to care about what she said. And to make it even better, he was a Christian. And he was telling her about God's love and his grace and how fulfillment is found in Christ and how he has a purpose and a plan and a destiny. And for the first time ever, she found a guy that wouldn't just be a great night or a great week or a great month, but she found a guy that, man, this is a guy I'd bring home to mom and dad. This is a guy that I'd want to raise my kids with. This is a guy that I'd want to be with forever. Like she had never done with every other guy. She gets on the phone on the way home and says, Mom, oh my gosh, you would not believe I met the perfect guy ever. He's a Christian, Mom, and he was telling me about God, and I think he likes me. And I mean, it was just amazing, and I've never met a guy like this before. And her mom said, did he ask you for your number? And she said, no. She said, babe, that guy wasn't interested in you. He was witnessing to you. Because in your search for the right person, you've fallen so far away from who God has called you to be. You will never find the right person searching for the right person. You will only find the right person when you make it your mission. I'm not going to worry about the right person. I'm going to make sure that I am the person that that person would want to find, and trust that if I handle what God has called me to handle, he will take care of the rest. Can I take it a step further? If you're married and you're like, God, fix my spouse, you know what God is going to say? Fix yourself. Somebody say, preach it with me. Can I say it this way? And this is really just Stephen. You got to deal with your crazy. You have to. You got crazy. Just ask anybody who knows you. You got crazy. I'll give you this. I think crazy comes from four main places. First place crazy comes from family. And it's not that you came from a crazy family, we all did, but it's that oftentimes family has mindsets that's not biblical. And we've adopted those type of mindsets and we bring them into our marriages. For example, blood is thicker than marriage. That's not Bible. Some of us have this mindset that if any of our siblings or our parents get in any type of trouble, we come rushing to their aid no matter what happens with our kids and our spouse, and we'll pay our siblings' tuition and we'll help a family member or a friend with their mortgage or whatever it may be. And if my spouse doesn't agree with me giving money to my in-laws or outlaws, then somehow that spouse is against me and against my family, so I'm going to do it on my own. And then next thing you know, you find yourself with separate accounts. And as soon as the money's separate, the heart is separate. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if I can get my... Boy, he's meddling today, man. I mean, this is like the first message. Can we wait for like three or four? Crazy comes from family. Crazy comes from experiences. Oh, that's the last man I'll ever trust. Oh, you do me dirty, that's all right. To the left. You must not know about me. What? Are you kidding me? We go through seasons that are painful, that are not God's best, whether poor decisions on our own or the fact that we just live in a sinful and fallen world. And because we live in a sinful and a fallen world, that pain has a way of finding us. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. We grew up watching situations, oh, I'll never be poor. I'm never going to deal with that. I'm never going to look my kids in the eye and not be able to give them what they need. So because of that, I will neglect them and my spouse so that I can give them what they need. And it sounds perfectly sane up here, but it's crazy. Somebody actually told me, here's the definition of love. Finding somebody who you're crazy matches their crazy. I was like, that's not the most demented thing. This is love. When you find somebody who's crazy, works with your crazy. Wrong. That is not love. That is an asylum. Deal with your crazy. How do I deal with my crazy? Make it your mission to be who God made you to be, not who you currently are. So often, it's very difficult to look at ourselves critically. It's very difficult to ask ourselves the right questions. And so often we're asking ourselves questions, but we're not asking the right questions. The question we normally ask ourselves is, am I okay with this? Whatever part of you there is. Am I okay with my anger? Am I okay with my values? Am I okay with my sarcasm? Am I okay with whatever it may be? And then we go out and we search for somebody who's okay with the crazy inside of us that we've decided is okay. Instead of asking, am I okay with this, or even more so, we go through this world searching for the acceptance of people when we really should be searching for the acceptance of our Creator God. It doesn't matter, am I okay with this, or even is my wife okay with this, is God okay with this? Did He make me to be somebody that flies off of the handle and yells and screams every time something hurts? Did He make me to be this emotionally unstable person that cannot have one conversation without crying and screaming and running and slamming doors? Did God make me to be this person that works really hard but for some reason cannot manage to keep a job, manage any type of checkbook? Do we have checkbooks anymore? It's like online pay. It's a pastor's phrase, though, manage a checkbook. Is this who God made me to be? And if this is not who God made me to do, by the way, none of us are where God made us to be, because if we were there, we'd be in heaven already. But until then, there's this little process called sanctification, which is a process of pursuing God's best in your character, in your soul, in your mindset, in who you are. By the way, that's why connect groups are so vital. Connect groups are launching today. Come on up. And here's why connect groups are so vital, because it puts you in a group of people that love you, that care for you, that share the same passions, hopes, and dreams that you have, but they're not in love with you. So they could tell you things that the person you're dating or married to can't tell you. I mean, they could tell you, but if they told you, you'd blow up on them, and they don't want to deal with that emotional terrorism, so they're just going to keep it to themselves. The Bible says it this way, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so friends sharpen each other's face. You need people in your life that are going to be able to say, hey, I care about you. I love you. I want God's best for you. And you know that way that you kind of just start twitching and smoke comes out of your ear and you kind of bug out every time somebody cuts you off on the road? That's not God's best for you. I'm with you. I'm committed to you even before you get it together. I got some stuff that I don't have together, and I give you permission to sharpen my face, but let's sharpen each other's face so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. You don't get that done by yourself. You know what happens when you live an isolated life? You'll always be crazy. You can write that down. Yeah, you ever met somebody just like, you're off? You're laughing, but you're probably sitting next to him right now. That's weird. You know what happened? That person hasn't ever allowed somebody close enough to them
to sharpen their face up. And say, hey, let's strive to be all that God's called us to be. The second thing is this, write this down. Stop looking for love and start walking in love. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It's so hard to preach this message and not leak into next week's message. We'll talk about love next week, but I'll leak this much. Love is not a feeling. What we call love is actually heat.
Just let that simmer for a second.
What we call love is emotion. And emotion comes and emotion goes. So when emotion goes, we feel that love has gone, but love didn't go just because an emotion went, because love was never a feeling. Love was never an emotion. Love always was a commitment and a covenant. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. You've heard it, but you know this verse actually applies at other places besides weddings? Isn't it weird that the only time we actually define love is at a wedding? Don't you think we should know what it is before? I'm just having too much fun. Can we have a little test? Oh, she loves me. Oh, he loves me, babe. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Bobby. Okay, so let's see. Do you love me? Because love is patient. How you act when I leave the seat up? Love is kind. Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble in the series, but I don't care. I'm not going to fix him a plate. His arms ain't broke. Got nothing about being an independent woman. The Bible says love is kind. He can fix you a plate too. That would be really kind. Love does not envy. We just walk through this verse and have a little fun. When I sit down with a married couple or a dating couple and I listen to them talk and I hear this competition of careers. I know it's doomed. When she does not see his degrees as her degrees, and he does not see her income as his income, we're in trouble. Because the Bible says love does not envy. Because, and we'll get to this in point three, because the goal is that when we get married, we're one. I heard one guy say, I don't care if my wife makes more money than me. Because when that check comes in, it's coming to our account. And I'm going to spend it like I earned it. The Bible says love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach this message from Stephen, the not-so-great husband, instead of Stephen, the let-me-tell-you-do-it pastor. You know what pride is? Pride is this sentence. I know that. It's like my favorite phrase. I got this. I know. No, because if you knew. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Ouch. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record. It keeps no record. It keeps no record of the last time
You were not patient, kind, you envied, you boast, you were proud, you dishonored or were self-seeking or easily angered. Love is not sitting here saying, you better tell him, Pastor.
Can I get real quick and then I'll back out of here. We'll just jump right out. Love does not have sex before marriage. It's right there. Verse 6. Love does not delight in evil. We have these worldly phrases called making love. It's not love. It's lust. I'm not judging you. We've all dealt with it. But it's not love. Because love would never drive somebody to dishonor their creator. We'll get to this, but we'll just start here for a second. God created sex. God never called it dirty or nasty. The world did. You know why God created sex? God created sex to be the most powerful super glue that you have ever experienced in your life. When you apply sex to any relationship, it glues that thing together. It merges it, watch this, as is. Anybody ever had experiences with super glue? You ever applied super glue before you were ready? Before you got it lined up just right? Before that eyelash was just crazy? I mean, did you ever... Pray for me. We've been renovating all week. I'm sleep deprived. What happens when you put glue on something before it's ready? It's going to be jacked up. It's going to be jacked up for a while. And because it's super glue, you can't get it off. So then you begin to call jacked up normal. That's not normal. It's just you applied the glue too fast. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. One of the reasons why I married my wife is because I saw how she walked in love before she ever met me. I don't mean shade, and God bless my wife's friends if you're watching, but when I first met her, she has some jacked up friends. Her friends are crazy. They were just nuts. They were those extra grace required type people. They were a pain. Did I get it? They were annoying people. They were the type of people that, like, nobody could get along with, nobody could deal with. This is really bad, right? That's all right. We love them all unless we don't. But anyway, I watched how patient she was with her friends. I watched how selfless she was with her friends. And this might be TMI, but this is all right. I watched how she served them even though they did not serve her. I watched how she looked out for their best interest even at her own, and I didn't talk to you about this, this might be TMI, but even when it hurt her. And I looked at this and I said, man, if that's how she treats jacked up people, imagine how she's going to treat a dude who's going to be fit when he's 30. Got people talking about, ooh, you look strong. But I got to get in on that. If we would learn to walk in love, if we would learn to walk in patience, kindness, slow to anger, not envy, not prideful, not selfish, all those things that the Bible says. If we would learn to walk in that instead of just looking for it, listen to me, love will find you. If you would learn to walk in love, love will find you. Last thing is just write this down. So point number one, is don't find the right person, work on being the right person. Second thing is this, don't search for love, walk in love. Last thing is this, instead of fixing your hopes and dreams on a person, fix your hopes and dreams on God. I have a confession to make. I've been making confessions all day. Pastors, they lie a lot.
I knew it.
I know you knew it. One of the biggest lies that they tell are at weddings. And the two shall now become one. It's not two. It's half of a broken person over here with insecurities, fears, regrets, and hang-ups. And half of a broken person over here with pride and anger issues and lust burning their way down the aisle. And if the pastor was going to be honest at the wedding, my wife is sitting on the front row like, what he or she should say in these two halves. Because two can't become one unless one is whole in itself and the other is whole in his or herself. And then when two wholes come together, then two become one. The only problem is we're looking for somebody to complete us, to heal us, to give us purpose, to give us reason, to give us motivation. If you're his motivation, run for your life. Because you don't have enough motivation in you for you and him for a lifetime. He needs his own. If you are her motivation, run. I need to find my wholeness in God. And here's the whole point. You can't attract what you are not. You will never find, you know how they say birds of a feather flock together? I don't know why. I can't just find a good man. I just can't find a good woman. I'll let the Holy Spirit finish that one. I'm not going to give you that one. Find your purpose in God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of what? Man, we'll get into that. So many people are scared of getting married. Scared of relationships and just scared of commitment because you've been watching people who have done it the world's way fail. And you're like, man, if mom and dad couldn't do it, or if that pastor couldn't do it, or if this person couldn't do it, then who am I to think that it could work for me? Listen to me. It will work for you if you do it God's way. So don't be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is fulfillment. He is one. He is whole, and he goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I have a point number four. It's a new building, so I'll give you an extra long message. If failure occurs, repeat step 1, 2, and 3. Pastor, this would be a great message if I was single and ready to mingle. This would be a great message if we had waited for marriage. This would be a great message if we had not already separated our accounts. This would be a great message if we had not already called attorneys and filed those papers. This would have been a great message about 6 months ago or 6 years ago. Here's the great thing about God. It does not matter where you are on the journey of life, wherever you find yourself, all you have to do is stop right there. I know that affair happened 2 weeks ago, but I'm telling you, God can still put together what man has broken apart. How do I fix this? It is too far gone, and I am too angry and too hurt and too untrusting. This is what you need to do. Instead of trying to find the right person, focus on being the right person. Instead of trying to find love, focus on walking in love. And instead of expecting that person to fulfill you, search for God and fulfillment in him. And as you do, watch this, your part, he'll do his. He'll take care of the rest. You do your part. Father God, we're grateful. We are grateful. God, you didn't invent love. God, you are love. And God, no matter where we are in this room right now, dear God, you have a plan and a purpose for that is good and pleasing and perfect in our lives. God, we give you permission to do it in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.